Well, good morning. I pray all is well with y'all. What a wonderful day. You know, this is a special day in a lot of ways. This is what they call and recognize as D-Day, June the 6th, 1944. And as when the Allied troops finally got a hold of the German Nazi army and defeat was imminent. So it's a special day that we celebrate. D-Day means, let's go, do it now. Well, there's so many things in our life that maybe sometimes we need to put a D-Day on our own personal calendars, amen? But it's also a special day in the life of the church, June the 6th, 2021, a day that we will perform a baptismal covenant on Alice Lanier Bell. Born on December 17, 2020, right here in Tallahassee, and her parents, Joshua and Laura Bell. But it brings me to a time of youth message. The youth message is something that we put on the online service to help us try to stay in touch with the youth, but also to stay in touch with everybody that maybe is not coming to church. So the youth message is always similar but different. But today I want to do something a little different. I want to share with you what we're going to do on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at the church. And you might take this opportunity to remember your own baptism. And I think that's a pretty cool thing to do. So we look at the scriptures. Old Testament scripture. Proverbs chapter 22 verse 6. Now, this does relate to the youth service because it says, teach your children to choose the right path, and when they are old, they will remain upon it. So, I know from my own personal experience, that's what happened to me. I received infant baptism when I was young. I departed from the faith, but I eventually came back to the faith and became a pastor. So I had some good teaching, some good upbringing, and that's the purpose of that Proverbs 26. Train up a child the way that you should, and when they get old, they will not depart from it, because the Spirit of God is within them. And then our New Testament scripture today. That's a little longer than the one that I have in the bulletin for the regular church service. But it's so important because, you know, remember Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. And in Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 31 through 24. And the subtitle of this chapter is, Jesus is presented in the temple. Hear God's Word, New Living Translation. 8 days later, when the baby was circumcised, he was named Jesus, the name given to him by the angel even before he was conceived. Then it was time for the purification offering as required by the law of Moses and after the birth of a child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. The law of the Lord says a woman's first child is a boy. He must be dedicated to the Lord. So they offered sacrifice according to what was required in the law of the Lord in them days, either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Wow! It is so cool to be able to know that Jesus, our perfect intercessor, he was a baby. He was presented to the Lord. And we also have that same thing, because he knows everything about us. So I want to share with you today on the online service of the youth message, a message that we're going to do Sunday morning, and we're going to do it for Alice. This is a very special day for Alice Lanier Bell, but it may not seem so special to her. Instead, it may seem bewildering and confusing. Now, we can't read the little mind of Alice. If we could, we might hear her asking us some searching questions. And if we look closely at Alice, we may even see the questioning look in her eyes. What are you doing to me today? She might be asking. Now, I want to try to answer her question, and of course I am answering it for us this morning rather than for Alice, though I hope she may hear the answer someday after some years have gone by and she is able to understand what I am saying. So I will talk to Alice, but I want you to be the one to hear as I respond to the question, what are we doing to you today, Alice? Alice, you have participated in the sacrament this morning, and I know you can't understand now what a sacrament is. You may even have trouble understanding the meaning of that term later on as well. You see, a sacrament involves pledging and coveting or promising. It is also a sign or a symbol, which means that it is an act which represents more than what we can see. In its early usage in the Christian church, it involved mystery. Perhaps throughout your life, some mystery will be associated with what we have done to you today. But we hope that as you grow in understanding, there will be a time to come that it'll have enough of meaning for you, for what we have done on this very important day. Oh, what have we done? We have baptized you. The rite itself is very simple. We have sprinkled some water on your head and used certain sacred words. But we have done this in a special setting and among people who attach a particular significance to this rite. Your baptism is a visible act, but it's a sign of things which cannot be seen. And that is what I want to tell you about today. What have we done to you today, Alice? Listen, and I will try to explain it to you. First, we have placed the mark of God's ownership upon your life. In the ritual, we said those receiving the sacrament are thereby marked as Christian disciples. A Christian disciple is one who belongs to Christ and seeks to follow Christ. Now, there are some people who seem to think that a person has to go to the devil before he or she will come to the Lord. We don't believe that, Alice. You are God's creation, and we can't even look at you without feeling that God has performed a miracle in your very presence here among us. You belong to God, not to the devil, and we want you to know that. Just as early as possible for you to begin to grasp that meaning. Now, God claims you as His own. We have placed the mark of God's ownership upon you in this service of baptism. The signs of water will not last long, but we will be telling you this often in the months and the years to come in your life. You belong to God, and we don't want you to ever forget it. And the second thing, Alice, by your baptism, you have been initiated in God's holy church. Throughout Christian history, baptism has been the rite of initiation into the church. You have already been attending church. Your parents have seen to that. But now we have said through this simple act that we want you to be a part of the church. We believe Christ, too, wants you to be a part of the church. For everything we know about what Jesus Christ teaches us, that the little children are dear to Him, He must surely want them to be numbered among those who profess to be His disciples. We hope and pray that there will never be a time when you feel that you do not belong to the Church of Jesus Christ. It's not simply that we want you to have a sense of belonging, however. It's an important biblical name for the church, the body of Christ. The church is the continuing, visible presence of Christ in the world, and the church is supposed to be doing in the world the kind of things that Jesus did in Israel many centuries ago. We want you to be a part of this mission and ministry, so we have brought you to baptism, and now God has incorporated you into the body of Christ. What have we done to you today, Alice? Well, your family has been very much involved in what we have done. Your parents brought you to church for this service. And I am the pastor of this church here at Bethel United Methodist Church. And I had administered the sacrament upon you. And the church and other members of your family have surrounded you during this service. But this service has been placed in you in the context of your larger family. You belong to the Bell family, that's for sure. Of course, we are all proud of that. But you belong to a much larger family too, Alice. You belong to God's family. And in this ritual, we said that they were recognizing you as a member of the family of God. What's that mean? Well, first of all, that you are God's child. Before you were the child of Joshua and Laura Bell, you were the child of God. Now, that's a magnificent family heritage. And we celebrate it today, and we want you to never forget it. But that means also that you have a vast number of brothers and sisters and cousins and uncles and aunts and grandparents. By your baptism, we have set you in the context of this larger family. We want you to come to realize as you grow that the people of your church and all the Christians all around the world are kinfolk. It's kind of a large family, isn't it? But that means that you have a lot of people to care for you, for whom you may learn to care about. So what are we doing today, Alice? Well, we're making decisions for you, yeah. Now, some people would say that should be waiting until you can make up your own mind later about whether or not you want to be a Christian and a member of the church. And you will have to make that decision about that when you're a little older. You're too young to make that decision now. But we have some convictions about the direction your life should take. And we're not willing to let you be in limbo about these decisions for 15 or even 20 years. I say we. I mean especially your parents. But your larger family, your blood relatives, and your Christian family share this same sentiment with you. Already your parents have made the innumerable decisions for you as long as you've been growing in this world and helping you along, making decisions that you can't make because you cannot make them for yourself. No decisions are more vital than decisions about your values, your spiritual life, your moral training and discipline. And they are not willing to leave them to chance. But later on, you can reject or repudiate what they have decided for you. That's a beautiful thing about God's grace. He gives us a free choice. But now they are saying that we want you always to be a part of Christ's church, to live as God's child and as Christ's disciple. We are committed to working towards this end. In this act of baptism, your parents, your grandparents, your uncles, your aunts, your church family have committed ourselves to your spiritual training and nurture. We want the Bible to become a familiar and beloved book to you. We want participation in the church to be a natural and meaningful part of your life. And we want you to learn to pray, to love other people, and live unselfishly, and to give yourself into the service of others. And this is the act of baptism that we have committed ourselves to set that kind of example before you and to provide the training and the nurture that will lead you in that direction and help you to that quality of living. So what are we doing to you today, Alice? Well, let me tell you now about the most important meaning of what we have done. In your baptism, we are celebrating God's grace active in your life and on your behalf. That grace or goodwill is not a recent development. Many centuries ago, it was expressed very clearly in the life, the death, and the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus Christ. So in your baptism, we celebrate God's saving action in Christ. As some people might understand baptism, all that is acting now is the part of the persons involved in the act. We really don't think that because we believe that God was the primary actor in your baptism. We said that in the beginning of the service that baptism is an outward and a visible sign of God's grace in your life. through which grace we become partners of his righteousness and heirs of eternal life. You see, God's grace is the divine goodwill active in our behalf, whether we realize it or not. Alice, you can't recognize God's activity in your heart and life today, or at least so far as we know that you can, but believe God has already been working in your life and in your behalf. We call that prevenient grace. That is which grace goes before us, the grace that works before us as we recognize it, grace that is always active in our behalf. And we are celebrating that fact that God was working in your life even before today, and that God will be acting in goodwill toward you every moment that is ahead in your life. You see, that's the part of what we call the gospel, which is good news, isn't it? It's good news that God loves you, Alice. And in time, you will no doubt do things that displease God. We do things like that sometimes, not intentionally, but it happens. But God will always love you and will always be acting in your goodwill towards you. That's something to celebrate. And as we celebrate that in your baptism today, we are also claiming God's promises for you. The Bible, the book of promises. God's promises kept, and human promises too, are often broken. But in the service of baptism, we made promises for you, Alice, and later on you'll want to reaffirm these promises for yourself. But God had made promises to you, promises which he will never, ever break. You can count on God. And in your baptism, we have claimed those promises for you. Historically speaking, baptism is signified of forgiveness, cleansing of new life, and the never-ceasing presence of God. And all these are promised to us. And you will need these, Alice, in the months and the years to come. You will fail at God sometimes and will long need divine forgiveness. You will soil your life somewhere along the line, and it will be cleansed again. You will have experience that seems to put to death certain parts of you, and you'll cry out for a new life. You will know that you can't make it on your own. You will pray for the presence of the one who is strong and good and wise. And all of this and more God has promised. We have made promises in your behalf today, but more than that, we have claimed God's matchless promises to you. It's a simple thing which we have done, but oh, how very important it is. You can't understand it, and we can't understand it all either. But with the Christians of every age, we believe that God is acting in your behalf, working in mysterious ways in your own little being, working in the hearts and the lives of your family, including your larger family. But what we have done is not just for today. It's for all the days that are to come. We can't circumscribe all the activities of God. And we can't limit God's action to a single moment in time, but this moment in time we have celebrated what God did centuries ago in the event of Jesus Christ. And what God is doing now and what God will continue to do in all of your tomorrows and all of our tomorrows, Alice, we believe that all of this is a very sacred and precious time in your life. And we trust that in time, it'll be sacred and precious to you as well. Well, thank you, Jesus, for the opportunity to come together today and celebrate Alice's baptism. We're going to do it in person on Sunday morning at church, but I hope and pray that you enjoyed this little time together of celebrating Alice's baptism and remembering your own baptism. Amen. God bless.